Hey, everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody. I'm here with...
Paul A. presents a notice the Boo Cow. Boo.
And we're also with...
Just Jen.
All right, and we're here to talk about...
Birdemic! Shock and terror. Rah, 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 rah.
The shock and terror of Birdemic. Oh, my
also
goodness.
Known as...
All right, so before that begins... Let's do a little
mood music. Just
hanging out. Oh God, you two.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Indie Film Cafe. We're here to talk about Birdemic, Shock and Terror. It was my pick.
Thank you. Appreciate
Yay.
It.
It's all right. I was going to choose it at some point. He beat me to it.
I did. So actually, I wanted to save it for like the second season because, you know, I want us to get gradually worse. But, you know, screw that.
yeah, we're diving right in.
Yeah. Ooh, diving like that. Yeah, but
this is the beginning of the bad stuff.
We'll get to a lot of fun stuff. But we'll get to a lot of stuff in a second. But let me tell you guys real quick what this movie is about, according to IMDb.
Okay.
So a horde of mutated birds, it didn't really look that mutated to me, but whatever.
Flock.
Descends upon the quiet town of Half Moon Bay, California, poor town, with the death tolls rising, two citizens, which became four actually, managed to fight back, but will they survive the Birdemic?
Ugh. That's terrible.
So it was directed by James Nguyen. I think that's how you say his name.
Yes, it is.
And it was written by him, and I'm guessing edited by him.
Executive producer.
He was never credited an editor, so he didn't want to take the blame for it.
Genius who came up with this brainchild.
Yes. And it stars Alan
Bach.
As Rod. Rod the puppet.
Yeah.
Whitney Moore as Natalie. Janae Castor as Susan. There's one of the little girls.
Right.
Colton Osborne. I'm guessing Tony is the little boy.
There's a lot of Osbornes in this film.
Adam Sessa as Ramsey. Which one's that guy?
He's the skeezy guy.
Oh, skeezy guy. That's
no.
It.
Ramsey was gun nut. He was, gun nut in the beat-up minivan.
Okay. And then Catherine Bacha is Becky.
I think
is
that's
that
the
poop girl.
Friend.
Yeah, the girl, yeah.
Girl.
Patsy Van Etner. I spelled that completely off, so that was Natalie's mom.
Okay.
You know, Mona Lisa Moon as May.
Who?
That was Natalie's friend.
Oh, yes. Give peace a chance.
Yeah.
Imagine peace.
Yeah.
And I totally messed up, but I said Danny Weber, and I didn't write down his name, but I'm guessing that was the other guy.
I'm sure Danny's
thankful
of that.
Yeah.
That was the friend.
That was skeezy.
What was his name?
And
I don't remember.
It says
I'm
with Tippy. With Tippi Hedren as Julie from Julie and...
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, she was apparently in one of the videos or something. She was in a movie. I don't remember ever seeing them show footage of a movie.
Maybe it was
something.
In the background on a TV. I don't recall ever seeing that. Maybe it's in the music video part. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember seeing it either. Okay, so Natalie...
That sells a party, looking at Tippi Hedren.
Yeah. So Natalie was actually named after Tippi Hedren.
Oh.
Because Tippi Hedren's name in real life is Natalie.
Gotcha.
I guess Tippi was like a nickname or something.
Natalie.
And then Rod was named after Rod Taylor, who's in The Birds.
Ah, there you
go. So both of them are in The Birds, and this was his homage to The Birds.
It's for The Birds, all right.
It's
a turkey.
Oh, even the birds don't want this movie. The birds are like, they're ashamed. They're like, we don't want to be.
They are ashamed.
They so don't want to be in this movie that they decided to be CGI.
Every single bird wrote in and said, put me down as Alan Smithy.
Yeah. And this is the third movie by James Nguyen. Apparently he didn't learn from his first two movies.
Oh,
one of them
dear.
Was called Julie and Jack, I believe, which was also riff-tracked. By the way, let's point out that we made a comment before about this being, we're doing like movies that Riff Trax won't even touch,
generally. And
generally. This movie, Riff Trax, has actually done.
Yes, it's
great. And it's an amazing Riff Trax, and if you have not seen it, definitely check it out.
I would say it's probably, and I haven't seen it yet, but it's probably the only way to actually watch this movie not fall asleep.
Let's also point out that Jen had not seen this movie.
That's right, she had not
at
seen
all,
it.
Not even the Riff Trax version.
So it's rough.
She
was sort of falling asleep halfway through the movie.
Well, and then the thing is that we wanted to be able to use this podcast as a way to sort of, you know, show the world some of these other movies that, even though they're terrible, are fun, and we wanted to make sure that people saw them, whereas Birdemic is a movie that, thanks to Riff Trax, people already know about. However, because it is such a ridiculous piece of garbage, we had to do this movie.
We had to do it.
And I told Jonathan earlier, people were, you know, when I finally said, hey, we're going to do Birdemic, most of my friends were saying, oh, I'm surprised you hadn't done this one already.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the expectation for doing Birdemic was out there. So it's just a match made in heaven.
So you basically just give in. Gave in to peer pressure.
Damn straight.
Well, I'm okay with that.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for warning me.
We're holding off on the room for another time, but at some point, I'm sure, we'll do that too.
We'll sit down and make Jen watch that as well.
Oh, I've seen the Riff Trax version. She could survive that.
And no, we'd have to actually watch the movie.
She survived Tommy Wiseau's butt. She could survive anything.
Oh, that was rough, man.
Well, let's mention nobody got naked in this movie.
That's true.
But they were down to their skivvies.
That's right.
And stuff. Mm-hmm. So they, and I believe James Wynn did that because he didn't want to feel like he was making a porno. Mm. But his music very much made it sound like it at times.
Oh. And who did some of that music, as it turns out?
Richard Band from Full Moon. Goodness. We can't believe that it was a Full Moon connection.
Like three songs.
I think he probably just bought them from him. Like, he's already made them and put them in, you know.
It's possible. I don't know.
And he didn't compose the music. So.
I don't think this is going to show up under Full Moon Pictures list.
Even Full Moon doesn't want it.
Dude, not even Troma would want this.
You know, I'm surprised the Half Moon, you know, is okay with, you know, this being out there.
Well, their moon name's all over it.
Yep. All right, so let's begin kind of talking about the characters.
All right, so I have a theory, and I was saying this throughout the podcast, throughout the showing. I swear to God, the guy who plays Rod is not a human being, or at least he wasn't a human being up until about 3 weeks before the movie was done. I think he was either a puppet or a piece of furniture or some kind of inanimate object and had no idea how to actually act like a human because he can't walk, he can't deliver lines, he has no idea what he's ever looking at, he is completely unconvincing as a human being, much less as an actor. I don't buy him. He's false. He doesn't exist.
I mean, his acting was god-awful.
He's a puppet.
His no emotion. Oh, man. It was so bad.
It was bad. It was terrible. So bad.
But even the most basic stuff, just walking, is just so difficult for him. Walking like a convincing human being.
That was hilarious. And he did a lot of walking.
He did a lot of walking. And driving and parking.
And and let's talk about how excited he got every now and then.
Like
he would get excited about something. Like let's talk about the sale he got. He got $1 million sale. Woo! Which he actually would have gotten $2 million, but he gave a 50% discount. But he goes, he was like, woo! And then when the guy comes over to ask him, his friend asks him, like, what are you so excited about? He goes, I got the sale.
You got a sale. I got the big fish.
I caught the big fish. And, like, what? Like, where did that excitement, like, you were just excited about something.
Humans
like
this.
He was able to clap excitedly during the meeting.
That's true. I remember seeing two hands actually hitting each other in the form of clapping. Yep. He managed to do that.
No missing. His face didn't show it, though, I don't believe. So.
Shh, don't ask for so much. ask for so much. We got clapping.
All right.
Dude, walking
and
chewing gum, I think, is beyond him at this point. There's just no way.
Don't push him to that point.
So anyway, let's talk about how he meets Whitney Moore,
He is just such stalker mode. But again, it's not because he's got bad intentions. It's because I really don't believe he has any clue. like how to be like a normal person.
He's a total creeper.
Mm-hmm.
Total creeper. Oh.
Yeah, so he goes to have breakfast at this place where this weird Russian girl like sits him down and it's just very strange.
Here's the menu.
Thank you.
I'll be right back with you.
And so he's there and he's eating his, what? I don't even know if he's eating anything.
No, and he got juice and coffee.
He got juice and coffee. The juice appeared. Just kind of magically appeared.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was continuity error. Continuity error. No, it was so bad of a continuity error because, like, he was looking at her. There was no, like, time lapse and like, whatever. Like, generally what you do when you make a movie is you show that there's some time. Even if it's just saying, like, a couple hours later or something. You let people know. But there was no, like, know that there was time. So what I think it was that there was, like, this chick was just leaving right then and there when he popped up. He left, and they shot it at a different time, so there was, you know, he had actually, in time that he had done that, he had ordered coffee and an orange juice,
right.
Drank some of it, and then left, but they forgot to take it out of the shot. So when he left, it looked like he wasn't paying for his two drinks he did. He just totally ran off.
But it's so funny because, you know, you mentioned that, you know, he's looking at her, but he's not looking at her like a normal human male might look at a female. He looks at her kind of like a tropical fish might look at a sports car. Like, what is, you know, it's like, I know I should think something. I don't know what it should be.
Yeah, yeah. And he comments later on, you know, didn't you go to the school? Weren't you in my class? But when he's looking at her, he doesn't make any face like, I think I know her. Like he's thinking about it. He just
right.
My favorite part
stares.
Of it. My favorite part of that whole thing is he asked her if she got, you know, it's like, didn't you go to school with me? And then she said, yeah. And then he goes, oh, do you live around here? Or something like that. Like,
hence the going to school with me.
Like, aren't you guys in the same freaking town?
No, it wasn't. Do you live around here? It's where are you from?
Where are you from?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. It's
that
like...
even worse.
Ugh, it's...
It's very... I guess the point we're trying to make is that his acting style just seems very, very awkward. I don't know that he's ever had any experience before. I think he was hired because, I guess, he's sort of a good-looking guy. And I think
really?
That's why he was put there. I mean, I'm just assuming...
Yeah, he is
so,
not judging. Like he's not
judging. I'm just saying I think that's why he's in there. I do not believe he's a professional actor of any kind whatsoever.
He's
so
been getting roles and stuff.
Well, I mean, good for him. I mean, that's
this
great.
This
movie
put him on the map.
I like I said, I barely bought him as a human being, much less just, you know, I mean, at one point I think I was joking. I was saying, you know, she asked, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, I'm a trash can in an office somewhere. Because it just seems like he's just such an inanimate object. He seems so wooden. You know, so, you know, who knows? Maybe he's taken this opportunity to sort of go on with his life and maybe get some acting lessons, learn how to emote, learn how to deliver lines, learn how to walk properly, and then has gone on with his life, which I think is great. It's just that this particular movie did not capture him in his best light, to say it lightly.
Well, I also think that's got to be a little bit due to, like, James Nguyen as
a
director.
Oh, definitely. That is definitely the director's fault. The director needs to do some kind of prep work with this guy. He needs to recognize what's going on with this and take some measures, do some extra cuts, do something with this poor guy.
Well, let's look at this for an interesting perspective. James Nguyen was a former software engineer, and that is what this guy was.
Mm-hmm.
This character was a former software engineer who decided he wanted to do something else, so he goes into solar panels, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. Or something, which really has nothing to do with the plot of the movie. It's just something more for him to brag about. Because,
right, it's another way to get some money for him, to be this dream guy, quote unquote.
Well, and to talk about global warming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That whole part,
he's a
too.
Very big environmental
guy. Which we can discuss later.
But, you know, the whole point about this guy being a software engineer and the director being a software engineer, I think is exactly why he went and hired this guy. There's a bit of vanity going on. You know,
right.
let's hire a guy who at least looks really good looking, and the acting is second at best.
Right, and let's make him become kind of like me, you know, like James is.
The way
or whatever.
I wish I was.
Yeah, and maybe like, you know, this is what he wishes like would happen. He would go to a diner, see a hot girl that he knew from high school, and then ask her out, and then, you know.
Very convenient.
And people would be like, But see, the problem is with James Nguyen, he can't walk up and go, "Hey, I'm James Nguyen. I directed the movie Birdemic. You ever heard of it?" You know, like, that's not going to really catch a lady's...
Yeah, that's not going to be your calling card, a very successful one.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, though. There might be Birdemic groupies.
There's a built-in cult following for this film, definitely. You know, it may not be for the reasons he originally wanted, but people know it. People talk about Birdemic. I know.
We'll get to continuity in a little while. You know,
there's a number of continuity. There's a number of production values themselves that are just bad.
But what were we originally talking about?
We're originally talking about characters. So let's go. Let's go next.
We got sidetracked.
So we talked about Rod.
Let's talk about his friend. I can't remember his name. I have to look that up real quick.
Is that Ramsey?
No,
Ramsey gun guy.
Oh, that's right. Ramsey Rambo. That's what I should remember him by.
Yeah. Who I don't think he was around.
So you're talking about skeezy guy, the one who wants to talk about sex, and he's got
his chest hair guy.
Yeah, he's got his hands all over the Vietnamese girl.
I think his name is Rick.
Rick?
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah, it's Rick.
Rick. Slick Rick.
It's Rick, yeah.
Okay.
Because I remember, like, oh, Rick and Ron, best friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Rick, Slick Rick, as we'll call from him from now on.
Skeezy Rick.
Chest hair Rick. There you go. Oh, my God.
You just want to run your fingers through his chest.
Oh, my God. Don't remind me of what that woman did. Ugh.
Oh, dear.
I hope she washed her hands after that.
I hope she burned her hands after that. Clean it with fire.
I don't think she got paid enough to do that. Oh.
That was just a bonus.
Oh, maybe some girls are into that. I don't know. I can't knock that. She did seem like she liked it. So
I guess
you know, whatever.
She's an actress.
So she did act.
She did.
You know, and she wasn't bad.
We are talking about Rick, not the girlfriend yet.
Yeah, so skeezy Rick is like kind of a bro. He's all about, you know, toys and sex, and, you know, he's always trying to sort of like, you know, get Rod down to his level. And Rod, of course, is like, "Oh no, I don't just think about that. I'm a real nice guy," and blah 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 blah. So he's kind of like his foil to help him look better. I think that's what his purpose is.
Which frankly. I think is hilarious.
Oh, it is hilarious.
Because Rod is like that. Like, Rod tries to hide that stuff, like, "Oh, I'm a gentleman," or whatever. But the first thing he asks, Whitney Moore's character, whatever her name was.
Natalie.
The first thing he asks Natalie is, "Can I come up, into your, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and she's like, "Not on the first date." And I'm like, so you think he's a gentleman?
Oh, he was sleazy before that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When he was like, you know, "What do you do?" She goes, "Oh, I'm a fashion model." And he's like, "Oh, I bet you look good in lingerie."
And those lingerie.
Yeah.
Well, no. After she said she got this big deal from Victoria's Secret.
Oh, dear.
And
no,
then that's when he was like, "Oh, you look good
That's
in
right, because she was in 1 hour photo getting her little pictures done.
1 hour
her,
photo.
Her passport photo's done.
Which, apparently, they do modeling there.
Yeah, so I guess we should talk about Natalie.
Yeah, because there wasn't much to Rick.
No.
Yeah, there really wasn't much to Rick.
He's
just
a
chest
foil.
Hair.
Yeah, so let's move on to Natalie. Whitney Moore was actually, I thought she was pretty.
She's pretty good. Pretty she's decent. At least got some natural talent to her. I think she may have had some background as an actress before, certainly possibly as a model before. She at least knows how to move, she knows how to do things. She knows how to, like, not look at the camera, you know, basic stuff.
She auditioned for the movie in a high school parking lot.
Really?
I'm not lying. That's what I heard. So, wow.
Wow.
You know, so you would think that if somebody were like, "Come to this high school parking lot and we'll audition you,"
jeez,
that maybe the movie is not going to be up to, like, quality. But maybe she didn't care at that time. She was new.
I heard they did the same thing for the movie Jerk Sauce. That's how they got all their players in there.
All right. Nobody will get that joke, but all right. Anyway, moving on. So I thought Whitney did a pretty good job.
I think she did okay. God bless her. She's
compared
the one
to everybody
to,
else.
She's the one who has to kiss this guy, touch this guy, be with this guy.
Turn around and
she has to pretend like she likes him.
She has to pretend that he's the ideal man for her.
She says, oh, it's just so interesting. So crazy.
It's like, girl, you're in love with a puppet. He was a puppet 3 weeks ago. You understand this. He was covered in fur. Somebody had a hand up his butt and was moving him around, or he had strings.
How do you know that's not still the case?
Well, that's possible. He's fairly wooden.
The way he was walking.
It's kind of like the movie The Tick, or the TV show The Tick. Hi, little wooden boy. You know, that's what he reminds me of, a little wooden boy.
Oh, jeez. All right. So, next, we should talk about Natalie's mom.
Oh, mom.
Played by Patsy Van Ettinger.
Wow. Patsy. She's,
She was a Patsy. For this poor movie. She was like the most enthusiastic mother probably ever seen in your life.
She's a type A personality, for sure.
Yeah, she was always smiling and laughing and having a great time.
I would say always. She's only in about two scenes, though.
But she dominates those scenes when she's in there.
Well, I know.
But...
like Mount Rushmore. But she's kind of weird, too. She's kind of like, oh, I like to watch TV, and I like to do that, and I like to watch Natalie do her modeling.
That part was weird. I mean, the whole thing was weird. But
I like to watch.
I thought it was weird how Natalie was saying, oh, her mom wants her to go into real estate and not do modeling, but both times you see her mom is very much encouraging her to do modeling.
Right.
Okay.
She's also quite happy with the fact that Rod seems to have some money in the bank.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he did make $1 million sale.
Which is true. This is true.
So I don't know how much he got out of that, but, you know. But he's got stock options.
He's got his stock options. He sold his solar panel idea. He's got moolah.
That thing confused the hell out of me. I know we're talking about Natalie's mom, and I'm going to take a little bit. I'm not focusing. I'm sorry. Just like this movie doesn't focus.
Focus.
But
some focus right now.
That notably. Cut.
Gotcha.
So anyway, the scene with the solar panel guy who comes in and like randomly, you know, wants to, you know, and he's like, how much is it? And he was like, $20,000. And he was like, oh, can you do any better than that? For you, buddy, I'll knock off $1,000.
Sold.
Like, all right, you got me.
Well, maybe that's what gave him the idea for a startup company for the solar panel.
But it's just funny to me because clearly the guy didn't have to knock off 50% in order to get this sale.
Right.
He's obviously not a good salesman.
Clearly.
Actually, he was a pretty good salesman. The other guy wasn't. Rob wasn't a good salesman because, you know, he wasn't good on selling him to 50%.
Rod is a fantastic salesman because he sold himself to Natalie, and I don't know how she bought that.
Oh, true.
And you're saying James Nguyen's a good salesman, in real life, I don't think that those guys would ever, you know, be together.
No, I don't think so.
In fact, they probably don't even like, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether Natalie. You know or not. I'm just wondering, has the actress who played Natalie gone on to other things?
Yes.
That's good. Because, like I said, she does seem to have some talent in there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a shame it was, you know, this is the movie that we see her in.
Well, but compared to the other actors, I guess you'd call them actors, she does shine. She does stand out because she's the only one that acts.
Right.
And she's very believable.
Yeah. Yes. She...
But we were actually talking about her mom.
Yeah.
We got sidetracked.
We did. We need to focus, but...
Focus! See? Out of focus again.
Yeah,
focus!
There's a lot of that.
This movie is pretty much... So I figured, you know, it's okay to be out of focus in this podcast, you know, because that whole movie is out of focus.
Uh-huh. Well, there's really not a whole lot else to say about her mom other than she loves to wear garish colors.
There's only two scenes with her mom.
Right. Okay. She's a former jeweler, and that's about it, really.
All right. So I guess we'll talk about the other two... Well, there's a couple other characters that just... There's a lot of characters in this movie that just kind of randomly pop up and then pop out.
Ramsey and Becky are the others. They're the ones that when the shit hits the fan and they're stuck in their skeezy motel, which is where they go to bone for the first time, because that's what you do when you're a puppet.
You don't go to your apartment or his house.
You don't know what to do with a human being. So he does that, and the birds attack, and they start running around, banging on doors, and they open one, and there's Gunnut Ramsey and Poopy Becky waiting for them, and they team up together and get off in a van, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's their only, like, thing. I mean... the funniest thing is when Becky dies, you know, spoiler alert, Becky dies.
Poopy Becky.
Yeah, she goes to go poop, and this, like, bird just attacks her, kills her, and then Whitney, you know, Natalie runs up.
I know, she left the toilet paper.
I know.
Don't leave a full roll of toilet paper.
They leave
there.
A lot of stuff.
They leave a lot of stuff. They left the gas can, they left the toilet paper, they just are like, oh my god, let's just get out of here, you know. But she doesn't even, like, say, let's get out of here. She's like, oh my god, Becky's dead. So
what do you mean she's dead?
So then...
As in not alive.
Yeah. So then, then Ramsey runs out to see him. I think he ends up getting killed, you know, or whatever.
That's when the birds poop all over the people from the bus.
Yeah, they poop on him with acid.
Acid.
Yeah.
Now let's think about Ramsey. His only real reason he's in the movie is he's a device to get guns into the hands of these folks. That's it.
Yeah.
He has a bunch of guns. Now they can start shooting at the birds, and they can make it very, very loud sound effects, and it makes them look heroic because they're fighting back against the birds. And that's really the only reason, because, you know, Rod's not going to have a gun. Rod doesn't even know what a gun is. He's a puppet, for Christ's sakes. So you got to have somebody else introduce the whole concept of firearms.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about...
But they can't even shoot guns. I mean, I can pretend shoot a gun a hell of a lot better than they pretend shoot a gun.
Although, remember, they have that classic scene before they get to the guns where they have to fight their way out of the motel with some hangers.
We'll get to that. Like, I was going to save that for, like, special effects and props and stuff. So we'll talk about that.
We can save that.
All right. So let's continue with the characters, because we got a bunch more. So we got Susan and Tony, who are the two little kids are whining about Happy Meals the whole time. The whole time. They only wanted Happy Meals. And
their parents got killed by the birds. Yeah. And they stopped and picked them up. While other people were driving slowly by.
They're only there to sort of make them look like some kind of nuclear family unit, and that's it. They're just devices.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So those characters, they're not really that, I hate to say it, they're not really that interesting. They're boring.
They're anchors.
So, in fact, if they weren't in the movie, I'd be okay with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or whatever. So, I guess the last person I want to talk about is the tree hugger.
Yeah.
The tree hugger and the guy on the bridge.
Yeah,
two guys were just so fucking weird.
Two weird guys that just pop up.
And both had, like missions to just push this whole global warming thing on everybody.
That's what their device is. That's what they do. They're the thing for the writer to sort of shove his message down our throats about this.
Right. And which kind of annoyed me to the point where, like, generally when you make a movie, you have a message sometimes. But most of the time it's, like, in the actions that people do or
it's
whatever.
It's subtle.
I mean, it's subtle.
There's no subtlety about this movie.
This just throws it all in your face.
Well, how it throws it in your face, it first starts when they're leaving the movies.
Right.
Oh. Right.
Tell about that.
I can't remember the exact line.
It was like,
oh, that's Rod. He's like, that was good movie. An inconvenient truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Rick's like, I'm going to trade my car in and get an electric car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that movie changed his life or whatever. Uh-huh. Which I believe is probably the movie that sparked James Wan's interest in doing this movie.
I agree.
He probably saw Inconvenient Truth and was like, you know, I'm going to make a movie about environmental, you know. And
a mashup. Inconvenient Truth and the Birds.
And the Birds, yeah. So this is, you know, this was his chance to do that. But, like, Inconvenient Truth was, like, what, a documentary or something? And this is by far not a documentary or whatever. See, that makes more sense. If this were a documentary, that would make sense if people are just randomly talking about global warming, how global warming is blah, blah, blah.
Damn you, global warming. Right. I mean, that's pretty much what the characters
Well, they're
are
not
saying.
Just talking, they're giving a little mini lecture on it.
Right.
Yeah, which they, nobody asked for. You know, not even the audience. Right. Like, we weren't expecting this.
Such as SEALs.
Explain that. Explain that line.
So that's this really fake newscast that Rod the Puppet watches every morning when he eats his chocolate donut for breakfast. Because chocolate donuts are what you eat for breakfast when you're a human.
Don't knock chocolate donuts.
Well, that's what he was eating.
Okay.
So he turns on the news, and it's the same newscaster, and it's a very fake-looking news thing, and she's talking about global warming is killing all of the polar bears, and they're unable to get to their food source, such as seals. And it's just the way she says it is just so ridiculous that I had to say it throughout the rest of the movie because it just amused me to no end.
Yes. I have a feeling we're going to be hearing this for a couple weeks now.
I know. Part of me wants to turn into Rod the Puppet just so I can kind of walk around and experience life like he must.
All right. So let's also talk about Rick Camp, who played Dr. Jones. Okay. That was the guy on the bridge. And
Dr. Jones.
So maybe that's where he got it from. I don't know. So Dr. Jones is played by Rick Camp. Rick Camp has actually acted in James Wynn's movies. He has not learned his lesson, apparently, because he was Jack. He was in Replica, which is James Wynn's second movie.
Nice.
And then he was in this one. Was he in any others? He was in Birdemic 2, playing Dr. Jones again. He reprises his role. And I don't know if there's any more.
So he survived the first Birdemic.
I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, then you never...
Pretty much everybody does, because if you notice, there's all kinds of cars driving back and forth in the background. Nobody's getting attacked.
Yeah, nobody gets attacked. So that was a little weird.
You think?
Yeah, pretty weird. So anyway, that was that. And then there was the tree hugger guy.
Tree hugger guy.
Yeah.
Played by Stephen Gustafson.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him either.
Was he wearing a wig? It looked like he was wearing a wig.
Yeah, he was wearing a wig.
This is what he normally looks like.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
You guys can't see him.
Oh, yeah.
He was wearing a wig. And he's actually in Birdemic 2 as well.
Nice.
So if you guys ever want to see Birdemic 2.
Oh. Gotta give me some recovery time.
Okay. All right, season 3.
Season 3.
If we make it that far, we'll do it.
Six seasons in a movie, baby.
All right. So let's see. So those are all the characters. So we're done with like the main character.
Although I do want to say my favorite line of his is, you know, he's there yet again hammering home this environmental message and the bark beetles and the global warming and I hear a mountain lion. I gotta go.
I hear a mountain lion. I gotta get back to my house. You better get to your car. It was very nice meeting you.
Mountain lion in the middle of like a normal forest, you know, normal like woods, like park.
Right off the road.
But there's mountain lions. Yeah, of course. But you know, he's not worried about birds in there. He was worried about mountain lions.
Very strange.
Yeah, you know. And he said that the kids could climb in his treehouse. That was really creepy. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, but like,
come play my treehouse, little Gary.
I know. And then And then Rod was the actual, like, you know, was like, no, don't do that.
Right. The puppet was all like, get away from him.
Yeah, you know, get away from the creepy guy. Jeez. He's not the creepy guy, apparently.
No.
Not in that situation.
You know, as a puppet, he's learned that much, at least, about human nature.
All right. So, let's talk about cinematography.
There we go. Jen's favorite topic.
Focus! Focus!
See, this is where you can say that a lot because there was a lot of bad out-of-focus shots.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was focused on something weird. The rest of it was just enough out of focus. You're like, wait, okay, is there something on my eyes? Is there something on the TV? Like, it was that just a little bit out of focus that it hurts.
Right. Either out of focus or for some reason you were looking at things at a slanted way.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't understand why they were doing that, unless he just didn't notice that. The cinematographer just, like, didn't notice or care.
I don't think he's ever done anything else other than this movie.
Maybe he was paid in banh mi's.
I don't know.
Well, that's not a bad payment.
No. Tasty banh mi sandwiches. I mean, come on. But there are an awful lot of Vietnamese connections in this thing, so.
So the cinematographer is Daniel Mai, M-A-I.
Dead guy.
Yeah, he was a dead guy. He was a dead store clerk.
Oh, he's the guy with the eggs on his eyes.
Yeah. I guess that's what it was. He has, okay, so Birdemic was his first movie. He, see, I guess you gotta learn somehow, but, like, usually people don't pick, like, you know, they do shorts, and they learn from that.
Right.
So he did shorts afterwards. He realized, I guess, like, maybe I need to learn how to do this. Last short he did was She Is Not the One, in 2013. After that, he went into directing. He directed a bunch of the other ones that he did the stuff for. So anyway, he wasn't really a cinematographer. And we can kind of tell.
Shot selection was not very good in this. Lots of things out of focus. Lots of things slanted for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Like the driving scene?
We spend a lot of time looking at unnecessary driving, unnecessary parking.
Talk about that real quick, Jen, because I remember you brought it up with the slant. You were wondering about
in
that.
In the car, it looks like an awkward dash cam, like they're trying to sneak into a place.
Right.
Like you see a half the screen is the dash, and then the top half is out the window. Like, I don't want anyone to see that I'm, you know, taping here, or, you know.
Right.
Definitely. Trying to sneak onto some military base or something.
Yeah, they're just driving down the road, and so it feels weird. Like but that whole movie feels that way.
Oh,
there's a lot of very slanted.
There's not a straight in focus shot throughout the whole movie.
Actually, there was a couple. There was a couple good ones.
You must have counted them on one hand, then.
Yeah, because remember, you even pointed that out. There was a really good looking shot. I think
being called out here.
I think there was a. And especially, there was also a really good-looking shot in the beginning of the movie with the, and it was panning, it was actually in focus, when he's sitting and eating his food. You know, when he's listening to the newspaper reporter, reporter.
The puppet.
Okay. Yeah. So, when she's talking about that stuff, actually looked really good. I was very surprised. The rest of the movie looked
The scene
like
where
crap.
He's eating his chocolate donut listening to the TV was a great shot.
Yeah, that was probably the best shot in the movie.
Oh,
aside
dear.
From that, you know, there it looked really bad. I was just...
Well, you know, you've got this beautiful California coast backdrop that you would think you would want to have, like, a nice extreme depth of focus so you could see everything in there and you could get this great depth of vision. And it's very flat and indistinct and fuzzy and out of focus and slanted instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of the main, it's one of the two main, production issues that I have with this particular film. Because the next thing, the other big bugaboo, is the sound. The sound is dreadful. Mm-hmm. There are more sound drops in this film than I can think I've ever counted on a film before.
Okay, once again, focus. Are we done with the cinematography? Do you guys want to talk about anything else?
There's not anything else more to say. It's just so bad.
It was just bad. It was not. And I mean, look, at least the guy knows like this is not for me, so he hasn't done anything else. But even if he did, learn to do some stuff for a while, like to go out and practice and make some more stuff. You know, I would watch it. I would try to watch something else that this guy's, you know, did cinematography for. But he did not return for Birdemic 2, by the way. So maybe the cinematography is a little bit better. I don't know.
I think I remember it being better.
Do you? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen
I've
it.
Never, I haven't seen it. So I can't say. But I know it is free on Amazon, so I'll definitely have to check it out before we do a review of it.
You're not going to buy the Blu-ray?
I might. Just because, I bought the first one.
Oh,
so
dear.
I might buy the Blu-ray for it. So, let's talk about the sound.
Yeah, a lot of sound issues.
Sound was... Well, the problem is it came with the editing.
A problem. Not the problem. There's so many. You can't say the problem.
Okay.
A problem.
A problem with it. is that the some of the editing messes up. So there's like one scene where you meet the waitress you know, in the cafe, and she goes, "Hi!" And it's, like, so loud and so, like, jolting. Mm-hmm. You're just like, what?
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of sound drops between dialogue. And then other sound effects and things are just turned way, way the hell up.
Oh, yeah. I had to cover my ears. So the gunshots and the birds. And,
oh, the birds were horrible. Oh, God. That was it's so bad.
Yeah. Constantly. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
I know. Actually, I prefer nails on a chalkboard.
Well, I mean, if the birds weren't blowing up gas stations as they dive into it, just the fact that they're fluttering in your face screaming at you makes it, like, extremely annoying.
Now let's talk about...
Well, another thing with the sound, and I guess that also deals with the cinematography as well, is whenever there's a conversation, it focuses on one person, you hear what they have to say, and then the camera goes to the other person for the response. Even if the response is just, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's big pauses, and you can tell the sound is different from one shot to the next. It's very extreme.
I know. You never get to see, like, a dialogue where they're just, it's just a one-shot, or where you're seeing them two together. It's back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And you know what? Also with that, we just heard a bell ring. It reminded me of... There's the scene, apparently Natalie's phone kept having a ringtone of a bicycle.
Bicycle bell. Yes.
Like, you couldn't get, like, a ringtone? Like, do you have to, I wonder if they have to pay for, like, certain ringtones to be played in movies.
Yeah, it was probably free.
They could have found so many other ones that I hear in million of these kind of movies.
A phone, like a ringing of a phone, that generic phone ringing sound. Some people have that as their ringtone. It's annoying.
I must say, I thought it was kind of cute. It kind of gives her character a little bit of innocence. But the phone thing is another sound issue because, you know, when they're talking on the phone, it's just, sometimes I just don't buy that they're actually on a phone. You know, it just doesn't sound right.
Oh, especially Rod.
Yeah.
Rod, when he was talking on the phone at one point, he kept talking and then it felt like the person had stopped talking to him or whatever, and he's just like,
like they hung up on him an hour ago.
Yeah, and he's just still talking, like, as if he's still on the phone with somebody.
The puppet just doesn't quite pick up on human activity.
It was so weird.
Still learning.
Yeah,
does this qualify with part of the sound section?
I guess, yeah. Music.
Yes, Paul's favorite song.
Having ourselves a party.
Something about the family, hanging out with the family.
And they're doing
a party of two people doing very bad white dancing
ever.
I think this goes up with Suburban Sasquatch as the worst party ever.
Oh my goodness, you know? It's just a shame.
But this least, well, would it be better? Like, okay, which one would be the worst party? This one, though, is in a public place, but there's no one else there, and they have an actual singer who's singing a very bad song. Or Suburban Sasquatch, where they were in their basement.
It was one guy.
One guy and one girl. One woman.
It wasn't even a girl. It was his mom,
His mom.
Yeah, but this one's in public. There's just two of them dancing very white. There's really other descriptor
So is the singer, who is black. I mean, he just doesn't convince me either.
He's not very convincing as a black man.
There is no funk to this song. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
And he apparently, we found this out.
And they robot.
And he wrote and composed this whole song. So this is actually his song that he sang.
Oh,
and it's him for real. So that's just,
And amazingly, this did not become the big hit of 2010. I don't know how that happened.
Well, it became a cold hit, so... Oh, this song. My God. But this song,
didn't rocket him to stardom.
It should have broke many, many,
eardrums.
Awards. And people's eardrums.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess to go with sound editing, let's do continuity next.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of continuity issues. One specific that you brought up was the bed. Talk about that.
Wow. So, there are a couple of times when They have their little skeezy sex at the cheap motel, again, because that's what you do when you're a puppet and you don't know how to deal with your first girlfriend. So rather than go home to either one of their homes...
Well, it looks like he has a very nice house, too. I know. She obviously has an apartment.
Well, maybe they were putting in the solar panel at the time or something. I don't know. And maybe mom was just...
You're giving it too much credit, dude.
Maybe mom in her place was just hanging out ready for, you know, ready to watch. But so they go to the skeezy motel and... they have their little thing. Fortunately, we don't watch most of that. I just didn't want to see it. And because it's like kissing a carp, for God's sakes. And so that's when the birds start attacking. And so Natalie gets up and starts and moves aside the filthiest curtain I've ever seen. And she sees the birds out there and she goes over to wake up Rod the puppet. And his position has changed several times so that it's just not the same. So that was one of the continuity issues that I noticed. Mm-hmm. Among others.
There was a ton of continuity issues. Mm-hmm. We had to bring out Continuity Monkey a lot for this movie. He was happy because, you know, he doesn't normally have to get that out that much. But this movie had so many continuity problems. I bet if I can find it on IMDb, there is usually IMDb has those continuity errors and there are so many.
Well, there was the one where Rod. Rod and Rick were talking at the fence. And
oh, yeah.
When you see them together, when the camera shows both of them together, they're in the middle of a section of fence. And when they're having a conversation, because when you have a conversation, you know, the camera has to go from one person to the other, you don't realize that they're talking to each other. You know, common. Yeah, you gotta do that. You can distinctly see a pole in between them. But then it goes out and there's no pole because they're in the middle of a section. That really annoyed the crap out of me. I don't know if you realized that.
Oh, yeah. I could tell. And just, I know we've already moved on from cinematography, but one thing I forgot to mention, the horrible, horrible shot selection of the rivers of horse piss from the horses in the stalls.
Oh.
Why did we need to see that? That was just gross.
Yeah. All right, so continuity.
Horses are cows.
Yeah. That was my mess.
He said cow, not me. You would have thought the opposite, but
you would have. Well, no, because you would know what a cow is. You know, work out. I just wasn't paying attention. All right.
Yeah, you know, horse, cow, butt. They're all
whatever. When Rod is filling up the van and the birds start attacking, he lays the gas pump nozzle on the ground.
He does.
And the next shot, as the van is leaving, it is hung up on the pump.
Yeah.
The dialogue between Rod and the solar panel salesman ends with them shaking hands and facing each other. In the next shot, Rod is looking at the paper that was used earlier in the scene. My favorite one. This is the only one because there's a lot, so I don't want to go through all that. But the amount of clapping changes each new camera shot in the boardroom scene.
We're clapping and we're clapping and we're clapping.
That scene we didn't even talk about, which is ridiculous. They apparently sold their company for $1 billion, and everybody's so happy because they all have a stock option. And so they're clapping and hugging each other and humping each other and doing all these random things. And all right, that's enough.
But it keeps going and going and going.
Ridiculously long.
It was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was like, stop clapping. And then the more that you got aggravated, the more they continued to do it.
I know.
It was so bad. But yeah, there was a lot of continuity issues with this movie.
But we haven't touched upon the king part of this movie yet, the special effects.
That's what I was going to bring up next. So thank you for, that was the last thing I was going to bring up before we do our ranking. So, special, quote unquote, special effects.
And
they were special, but they were more short bus special.
So
that's why I said, quote unquote.
Clearly, the biggest one is got to be the birds. Those incredibly fake-looking CGI. I guess they're supposed to be eagles. I don't really know.
They say they're eagles.
They're like one-dimensional crayon-colored birds that they're just cut off. They don't even. I mean, they barely animate. They just kind of flap
there.
There's
two different kinds of these birds. There's like the brown birds and the black birds. I think they're all supposed to be the same, but you can definitely tell the brown birds are animated this way and the black birds are animated this way.
And that's it.
Yep.
Oh my god.
And they just kind of lackadaisically hover in the air, sort of semi flapping their wings.
When they are not bombing.
Yes. Oh. Kamikaze bombing and exploding.
With sound effects, right. Too.
That's the first thing. Because, okay, so.
Focus.
My favorite thing in this whole movie is the fact that, okay, so we were talking to Jen, and Jen was like, or we said, this is where the fun part begins. And we didn't realize that it would take about 2 minutes before we get to the fun part. So she's waiting and waiting.
Well, and that is, what, 40 minutes into this movie?
45.
46
minutes. Half the movie, basically. Because it's, I think it's basically an hour and 32 minutes. Oh. So it's basically 46 minutes in, we get, like,
the birdemic
to actually happen.
The shock and
there's
terror.
No build up to it. There's, like, one or two comments on the TV about global warming.
Which has nothing to do with birds.
No.
And then we see birds in the beginning. We see, like, them, like, we see them being peaceful and nice and
Duck
everything.
Duck hunter.
But you see them, like, being, like, flapping in front of them, and that's it. And they're like, oh, aren't they so sweet? And then later, when they come, they just start, like, it starts out peaceful. We see the whole city and, you know, the ocean, everything. Like, everything seems nice. And then out of nowhere,
I know, it's like Pearl Harbor if birds had been attacking.
Yeah, and the worst part is nobody is freaking out. Like, when you see a movie, like, when you see a movie where that would happen, generally you see, like I was watching Man of Steel the other day, you know, right?
Same thing.
That's, people were busting into buildings and shit. People were running, like, mad, like, ah, we're getting attacked.
This movie had no extras in it.
Yeah, well, no, they did. The extras were the people that got attacked and the bus and stuff like that.
But it was filmed in public so that all the other real people are just driving by looking at it like, what the hell?
While people are, like, shooting at fake birds and stuff. Like, I mean, you would have thought that the cops would be called at that particular moment because there are guns outside. I mean, even if they're fake guns or whatever, I don't know what they were. They could have been rubber guns for all I know. But if somebody sees a gun out in somebody's van, you're going to think there's a drive-by happening or something, you know, right? So you would think that the cops would be called. So I have no idea if the cops were called, but didn't really matter, I guess, because we're not going to see that anyway.
But, yeah, it was just, you know, the special effects are clearly very, very poor.
Very special.
And it's really...
No, they were bad.
It's the centerpiece of the film. It's what makes it good. Because otherwise, it would just be very boring.
Oh, it would be a very boring...
It still is very boring.
It is boring, but it still amuses me.
I mean, I thought when you guys were talking about how bad it is, and I had heard how bad it was because of riff tracks and what people were talking, like, oh, it's going to be a horrible movie. I didn't realize how boring it was.
Yeah.
And that, you say, is the cardinal sin of filmmaking.
Absolutely.
And so,
then why do you own this?
Because there's enough of the bad special effects that amuse me. Plus, Rod the Puppet just amuses me to no end.
Okay. He's not a good reason, but...
And Wendy Moore's cute.
I give her that.
So, I mean, I don't know.
You just like Rick's hairy chest.
I just like failure. I think failure to this level amuses me.
Yeah. Like, you know, you would think if they had like a script supervisor or somebody else in charge of this thing... They would get their shit together and they would have been able to make something good. Unfortunately, this is just incompetent,
right,
you know.
Right.
Or whatever.
And then remember the scene we were gonna explain earlier about the hangers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's when they, you know, that's when Rod and Natalie meet up with Ramsey and Becky, Poopy Becky, and they escape their hotel room by grabbing some hangers, and they are supposed to be swatting at these CGI birds, and it's so obvious that there's nothing there. Nothing.
No. They can't even pretend like there's something there.
There's a lot of pretend acting in this. It's kind of funny.
And it's not even pretend acting. Like, the birds would be scary if they were moving around or something or doing something. Like, even if it were just, like, circling them or something.
You
that
know
would
what
be
it
more...
looks like? It almost... if this was a movie, it was a still picture. It looked like a photograph, and then a kid took, like, shimmery stickers and just stuck it on top of people's heads.
Right.
That's what it looked like on the TV screen.
Because they defy all laws of physics. They're just hanging there. They're just floating. They're hovering. You know, it's just, they're not actually flying. It's just so weird.
It is weird. It's, the whole movie is weird.
And then, like I said, though, they have to pretend to be frightened. They have to pretend to be swinging the hangers. The poor guys who get pooped on with the acid poop, they have to pretend they're dying. They're like, oh, and they all just kind of collapse and, oh, we're dead. The one guy that tries to hold him up by making him sell him gas as opposed to just taking it.
That was a great character.
That was funny as hell. He's another one that's got to pretend to die when the bird just flies out of nowhere and slices his throat open.
And then they leave without picking up the gas can.
Of course.
What? If you, especially if you paid $100. I'm sorry. If I paid $100.
Per gallon.
You know, per gallon. I mean, I don't even know how many gallons they were in that thing. I would make sure to grab that and throw it in the car.
Frankly, I'm surprised we even understood that, because the guy who was in that scene, I could barely understand.
The clerk. Yeah, the clerk. Which, if you look at his credit on IMDb, it says... gas station, or no, it says store clerk / gas station. So he's a gas station, apparently.
Yeah, he was like mumble mouth.
Yeah.
He was just awful.
So yeah, the special effects were pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
But they were what made the movie,
I mean,
interesting enough to keep watching
it. It's similar to the special effects in Suburban Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. In that it's just so poorly done. Except I'm not even sure if it's worse or better. It's really difficult to tell. Remember the car scene with Suburban Sasquatch?
Yes. See, I would say this one is worse because you get more of it.
Right. That's true.
Mm-hmm. So at least Suburban Sasquatch, you had like little bits of crappy CGI.
There's an awful
lot of
fake arrows and fake blood shooting out, but. Yeah, it's the fact that the birds are the centerpiece of the movie means that that's what the movie is centered on. It's carrying the film. It's supposed to carry the film, and in fact, it's the worst part of the movie. So that's why it's a cult following, in my opinion, is because the CGI effects are just so subpar.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, they don't get a whole lot better in Birdemic 2.
Well, that sounds awesome. Like, I mean, I would love that.
Right.
I mean, I would... See, I wouldn't want a guy to, like, you know, fail so miserably in a movie and then make a sequel that's much better. You know, I would want something of the same quality, if not worse. Like, that's what I would want.
Keep failing.
So you don't want him to get better.
No.
If he makes a movie like this, go the distance, man.
That's right, man. You know? Did Ed Wood get better? No.
Well, he didn't have, like... See, that's the thing. We live in a day and age of, like, amazing technology and internet stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can learn anything from YouTube. You can do anything, you know, from looking stuff up on the internet. But Ed Wood didn't have that. James Nguyen has this. He's a freaking software engineer. Like, this should have been a lot better.
Yeah,
the fact that
it
wasn't means that his talent wasn't there enough, which is not to say that he's just a bad person or anything.
Either he farmed it off to somebody else to do the effects, and he was perfectly happy with the result, even though it doesn't look good, which is a problem in and of itself. I mean, you should have said, hey, I paid you X amount of dollars. This is the best you could give me?
That's true.
You know?
But, you know, I guess that's... It just was what it was.
It was what it was.
So, I guess we'll go down to our ranking, I guess.
I guess so. I was going to talk so much about the wonderful parking and driving and the fact that they drive 5 miles an hour everywhere. But I guess we can move on from that. There's an awful lot of driving.
Before we go on to our rankings, do you have a favorite scene? Besides all the driving scenes.
Besides the driving scene, I mean...
That's half the movie, I think.
To me, the iconic...
Yeah, that's not fair.
The iconic moment is the hangar scene. I mean, that's what most people remember. You know, that's the ridiculousness of that movie sort of in focus right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the hangar scene.
And you?
The basketball scene. That was my favorite. That scene was so god-awful and ridiculous.
Poor Rod the Puppet has never bounced a basketball in his life.
We didn't talk about it, so I was like, that's a great scene.
He never shot one before either, because he was kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so hot, but I'm going to wear a long sleeve shirt and a t-shirt over top.
And it's funny how we were comparing that to The Room and Tommy Wiseau's football scene and how they are interesting parallels.
Shouldn't play sports.
Don't play sports in these movies.
If you're going to make a bad movie, make sure they can't play sports. You know, don't exactly. play sports. Yeah. What about you, Jen?
I liked, and I have to admit, that's the reason I asked the question. So we already talked how the guy tried to rob him, and he pulled the gas can out of the back. He said, I have a gas can in the back, and gets it out of the back of the, it's a minivan.
Right,
Ramsey had this really crappy looking minivan. Then later on, towards the end, he opens the back of the minivan and goes,
hey, look, a fishing rod. I can go catch some fish. Oh, look, a stove. We can cook it.
Like, what?
You didn't see that the last time you were in there with the gas can? It's not like these were small items.
I know. It was ridiculous.
I liked that. That cracked me. And, of course, the way he said it.
A continuity error.
Yep, that's definitely a continuity. That's a pretty bad continuity.
Again, it goes back to my theory that Rod is a puppet. He just doesn't understand our reality. He's trying to fit in, and he's just not doing a very good job.
My favorite thing about the guy who robs them, instead of, he doesn't rob them. I'm sorry. He says, sell me your gas can with a gun pointed at them. What?
And he says he's only got $50 in his pocket, which means he's going to get a 50% discount.
Oh, we could have got a 50% discount if you were a good salesman.
There's the theme.
Oh, nice. All right. So I guess ranking time.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and say 9.5. It's bad, 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 with a capital bad.
So you think this ties with Barn of the Blood Llama?
I actually like Barn of the Blood Llama somewhat better than this.
You can make it a little lower.
Yeah. Higher. 9.5 is good.
Okay. 9.5 for both.
It's not quite a 10. Don't worry, I got 10s a coming.
Oh, no. No.
It's a coming.
I don't remember signing up for that.
So 9.5 for me. What about you?
It should be fair. He was like before, like this is a couple months before. He was like, I don't want to give Jen like the really, really hard stuff. So we're going to save that for the second season. And then a couple months later, he's like, you know what? Let's change it up. Let's give Jen all the hard ones to watch now, so that we can
toughen this kid up.
See if she can stick with us. Because if you can't deal with this, then who knows?
Hey, she's been soldiering through everything.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing good. You did not fall asleep, though.
It was tempting. It truly was a boring ass movie.
So I will go, and I will say also 9.5, which I give it a higher than Barn of the Blood Llama. We were talking about it before. We were discussing what we were going to do about ranking. We weren't sure if we were going to change our minds or whatever after we talked. And I have not changed my mind. 9.5. And I'm saying that I think this movie is worse than Barn of the Blood Llama. If I could pick between Barn of the Blood Llama or this.
So it's like 9.51.
No, because I think I gave 9.
You
both gave 9.5. I gave a 9 because I was worried that this was not going to be that there were going to be worse movies. And I picked one. And I thought I usually had the ones that were, you know, that were a little better, but not in this case. Nope, I failed. Now, Jen.
Well, I would say 9.5 as well.
There you go.
Right.
And I think it, for me, it's same as Barn of the Blood Llama, ratings-wise, but for different things. Because at least Barn of the Blood Llama didn't take itself as a serious movie. There's so many other problems. This one, just trying to take itself as a real movie, and that's part of the problem.
Plus, it preaches at us.
The preaching is the worst part, but the taking as a real movie is camp, you know, right? But however, I don't think it realized it was camp, You know, they really thought they were making a good movie.
Yeah, it's just that's like that's why it gets a really bad rating.
Yeah, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Hmm.
You know, took itself as a real movie.
Right.
Failed miserably. Much more entertaining than this movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
You know, doesn't make you fall asleep. Doesn't knock you out. But
well,
you
know. And I've tried not to give movies like that. I mean, as bad as a movie, say, a Monster Go-Go is, and believe me, that's a really bad movie, I don't think we're going to do that one because it is so boring. That entire movie is a nothing. It's just zero.
It's more boring than this?
Oh, God, yes. Or if you've ever seen...
No, we won't watch that.
If you've ever seen The Terror with Jack Nicholson, nothing happens.
We'll save that for the last movie ever that we do for Indie Film Cafe. I think if we're going to do something that's going to be like the ultimate...
He's already planning the ending here?
I mean, that'll be like in 10 years, so it's okay. You know.
That only scratches the surface of the movies they could be showing you guys. I haven't even broken out my Nick Zed movies yet.
Just don't bring out the Beelzebub and we're okay. because she can't handle
no,
that.
No Dick Shark.
But all right, well, I guess that's it, you know.
Yep.
Any final words on this movie?
Such as seals.
Such as seals. Perfect. Perfect words. Perfect ending to that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Check us out on indiefilmcafe.reviews, which Paul said that there is some new stuff coming with it.
Yeah, there's going to be a software update if we can get Rod the Puppet to sell it to me at a 50% discount. That's going to be coming, and when it does, we'll be able to fix the couple of little errors that we're having with the stinkometer grid. But in the meantime, we can still go there and check out our reviews, and it's the link to all of our other stuff. And we're going to be putting in a new link there for Sick Flick Productions, because Jonathan's been working on that website.
Right? Yeah, because we put it on the Sick Flick Podcast Network, so there's a link to both. Sick Flick Podcast Network has Indie Film Cafe, and it also on for the website. But it also has, for Sick Flick TV, it has our YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two links out there for people to check out. If they go to sickflickproductions.com, check out all the stuff we're doing. Paul and I are working really hard on developing stuff for the company and also stuff for here, for this
That's
stuff.
Right.
So we're trying to make sure we get a lot of things going. And Continuity Monkey's going to get some more pictures.
Our empire is growing.
Just Jen is just sitting back and doing...
I bake cookies at home.
That's true, yes. You do. Very good ones.
Yes. You have a YouTube channel, don't you?
No, not YouTube. Have the cooking blog.
Okay.
It's all random, old, mostly baking recipes from like the 30s, 40s, 50s,
boozy cupcakes.
60s. Well, those aren't old ones.
But they were good, though.
Uh-huh. Well, the last one was the Pecco Drops.
Okay.
The peanut butter coconut... weird recipe that turned out to be utterly delicious.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sounds great.
Bring something in next week.
Okay.
Next time.
We'll have next time that we do the podcast, which do we have a clue what's next?
Well, remember, you've got your shoot coming up for your film.
Mr. Special here.
Yeah, Mr. Special. And then he acts in another film for John Johnson's group. So it's going to be a couple of weeks, and then we go to the next movie, which is one of mine, which I haven't quite decided yet. I am toying with the idea of Sex Ed. I haven't committed to that yet.
Sounds like Sex Ed.
Yeah, no, it's Sex Ed with, Sex Ed. You know, 85-year-old...
Sex Ed.
Sex Ed. Okay. 85-year-old Mae West, but it's got a bunch of Hollywood stars in there. At least
she doesn't
in the 70s.
Get naked in it, does she?
God no.
Okay, good.
But you know, we just did a skeezy old lady movie, so I'm not sure if we want to go to that well yet.
Skeezy old lady, Harry Rick.
So, yeah, let's try.
I may do something different. Yeah. You know, I'll tiptoe through my tulips and see what I can pull.
I think you whatever you pick. will probably be maybe as just as bad as what we just watched.
I might go in a different direction. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, he might find a 3 for us, you know, or something. Because even you said, like, Double D Avenger, the last one we did, was actually not that bad compared to, you know, a lot of the other.
Well, like, that's just it. It's all a matter of perspective, which is why I always keep saying, you know, Rollergate is looking pretty good right about now, isn't it?
Rollergate was fine.
You guys moaned and groaned through Rollergate.
Well, we didn't know. And then when we watched Rollergate, we actually liked it, sort of.
Yeah, it was cute. It's a cute movie.
Jin's not saying anything, but.
I have no opinion.
You know you want the puppet.
It wasn't this, so.
You want the roller gator puppet, you know that.
No.
Of course.
No.
Snuggle with it at home. Anyway.
No.
Oh dear.
We're
focus. It's, focus.
I feel like I was just on
focus. See here, focus. Focus.
All right. Give us a thumbs up if you like this.
Please do. We need our thumbs.
Yeah. And check this out. Let us know what you guys think. Did you guys like this?
Nope.
Did you like this movie?
Nope.
Yes, you did.
If you like this movie, tell us why.
Right.
Like, yes. I mean, I want to know, like, is there people that really actually think this is a good movie?
And let us know if we should be doing Birdemic 2.
No.
Let us know.
No.
Take a poll.
No.
Send us $20 with your instructions, and we'll consider it.
She's like, money might be okay.
There you go.
All right. And also, check us out on those links that we said below, and let us know what you guys think of this. So, have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Music's over. Okay, I can't reach. You have to press the button.
Which one do I press?
The stop button. It's square.
Such as seals.